Fox News, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. So why am I currently skipping stones with four locals and one grizzly bear outside this Riverside Lodge in Portland? Because Hotels.com lets me do me. And because, honestly, the bear just kind of joined in, and now we're afraid that if we stop, he'll get angry. He can smell our fear. Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded.
Wayne Allen Root for Bullet Blocker. I love these guys. Sometimes you find a product and you go, wow, why didn't I think of that? Trained as an Army Ranger and former Deputy Sheriff, Joe Curran invented the world's first bulletproof backpack. Now Joe has built a successful Made in the USA company that offers bullet-resistant products for your most precious asset, your children. Backpacks, bulletproof clothing, vests, briefcase, and more. Bullet Blocker gives your kids the gift of life. Stylish clothing that protects like police body armor. Go to bulletblocker.com and enter code WARN to save 10%. That's bulletblocker.com, bulletblocker.com.
Retail sales in May rose 0.8% from the previous month. That's double what the economic experts were expecting. Economic expert Chris Hogan on this spending surge.
I think it's a strong indicator of the strength of the economy, but also the job rate unemployment is very, very low. So people are very confident. The problem is that this confidence can relate to overspending when you start to look at retail sales. The increased spending in restaurants, home improvement stores, all indicates that it's summertime. And for a lot of people, they're unplugging and they're clueless as to what's going on financially for themselves and their future.
In a new study from the University of Missouri School of Medicine, found that a single episode of binge drinking can affect the gene that regulates sleep. We all know drinking alcohol is known to disrupt a good night's sleep, but just one night of binge drinking can create biological changes that lead to long-term problems. Binge drinking is described as having four or more drinks in 2 hours for women and five or more drinks in the same time period for men. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allen Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allen Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
Google is leveraging the powers of artificial intelligence into domains other than its web services, and they've been doing this for a couple years now. Now they are using it to predict when a patient will die. The accuracy in the initial trials is at 95%. Dr. Mike Wachowski joined Fox News to talk about if this is a good thing or something we should be concerned about.
Well, it depends how you look at it. First of all, data in hospitals has been tremendously underutilized. We're literally in the dark ages because half of our information is on paper. Half of it is on systems that don't talk to each other. So what my patient experiences in one hospital, what tests they undergo, that doesn't always come back to me. And there's a lot of duplicates. So there's a lot of bad mistakes happening simply because data is not connected.
Right.
So I'm glad Google's making an effort to try and connect some of that data. The thing that's worrying for me is what happens with this data and who owns this data. Patients' health information is a protected asset, and that's really important. And on top of that, what you do with that information matters. I hope, as a doctor, that these companies use the information that they get to benefit patients and not just the companies themselves.
Dr. Mike explains how he would use the information from Google.
What's important is that when this algorithm spits out a decision and saying, well, this person has only a 10% chance to live, I want to know why it's making that decision. Mm-hmm. And then that decision needs to be evaluated by a human being. Because machines make mistakes, and sometimes they make mistakes based on faulty data. When I look through a patient's chart right now, they're a mess.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. We're going to talk about Gold Star families today. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you for joining us. And a happy Father's Day to dads everywhere.
Colonel, happy Father's Day?
Yeah.
Well, what if someone isn't identifying as that gender on that particular day?
Have we ever been politically correct?
Oh, I guess it's okay then.
Happy Father's Day. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's going on, Josh?
Not to get ahead of the events as they continue to unfold, but as I mentioned at the top of last week's program, we do owe a good bit of thanks to Dennis Rodman, the unlikely peace emissary between the current leaders of North Korea and the United States. Knowing that Rodman has received championship rings for his five NBA World Championships with the Detroit Pistons and Chicago Bulls, I feel it only fitting that should this nuclear deal of the century actually move forward and take place as it is currently agreed upon, that North Korea fully and completely denuclearizes, that the major players in this world achievement, Rodman included, should receive championship-style rings for their contributions. Now, you're probably asking yourself, who's going to pay for the rings? Well, I'm sure Donald Trump has a few extra dollars he would spend at Tiffany's to ostentatiously celebrate his signature achievement in world peace. Hard to believe the guy has only been in office less than 17 months. I wonder what he'll do next with Iran.
Hey, that's good to hear. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby looks serious. We'll hear from him as he shares some warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking like trouble. What's up, Skip?
Well, I'm just having a good old time. I got my garden all planted. I got my lawn mowed. I'm working on a couple of new books. Life is good.
And you don't have to mow the lawn again for another 3 or 4 days? And you
3 or 4 months, you know.
Well, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss something that's happening in our nation today, the struggle between nationalism and tribalism. Vet Sports does a lot for veterans. Yeah, it's about sports. Autumn Hartpence will share that with us. Then we'll meet the leader of the Gold Star Families Organization, Patty Smith. You'll be surprised at all they do. And retired Colonel Al Nahas will discuss his well-researched book, Warriors Remembered.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. And then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Do send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it on Facebook. Now it's time for News and Comment by the Colonel and Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. What's first, Josh?
President Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un concluded an extraordinary nuclear summit on Tuesday, with our president pledging unspecified security guarantees to the North, and Kim committing to the complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Meeting with staged ceremony on a Singapore island, Trump and Kim came together for a summit that seemed unthinkable months ago, clasping hands in front of a row of alternating U.S. and North Korean flags, holding a one-on-one meeting, additional talks with advisors, and a working lunch. Both leaders expressed optimism throughout roughly 5 hours of talks, with Trump thanking Kim afterward for taking the first bold step toward a bright new future for his people. Trump announced that he will be freezing U.S. military war games with its ally, South Korea, while negotiations between the two countries continue. Trump cast the decision as a cost-saving measure, but North Korea has long objected to the drills as a security threat. Trump acknowledged that the timetable for denuclearization is long, but said, once you start the process, it means it's pretty much over. Light on specifics, the document signed by the leaders largely amounted to an agreement to continue discussions, as it echoed previous public statements and past commitments. It did not include an agreement to take steps toward ending the technical state of warfare between the U.S. and North Korea. The pair promised in the document to build a lasting and stable peace regime on the Korean Peninsula and to repatriate remains of prisoners of war and those missing in action during the Korean War. The formal document signing followed a series of meetings at a luxury Singapore resort.
President Trump has started our nation and North Korea on a path that, if followed, will bring peace to the region and reduce the likelihood of war. Yes, North Korea has a reputation for not doing what they promised, so this process must move ahead with great oversight and inspections, so it's not a done deal. Nevertheless, our president has taken a huge step forward simply by being a real negotiator, and have no doubt he will hold North Korea to absolutely following the agreement to the letter. I'm amused and a bit sickened that our nation's mainstream media still does not recognize this great accomplishment.
Our Air Force has grounded its B-1 bomber fleet over safety concerns related to the Lancer's ejection seats. The safety stand-down is a direct result of the emergency landing a B-1 made on May 1st at Midland Airport in Texas. Air Force Global Strike officials said, quote, "During the safety investigation process following an emergency landing of a B-1B in Midland, an issue with ejection seat components was discovered that necessitated the stand-down. As these issues are resolved, aircraft will return to flight," end quote. In a statement, the command added that a safety investigation board is ongoing.
I'm glad our Air Force is focused on safety. I'm sure they'll find and fix the problem.
The United States will intensify combat against the ISIS affiliate in Afghanistan during the Kabul government's temporary halt to attacks on the Taliban, according to senior U.S. officials. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said this could, for example, allow us to partially shift the focus of aerial surveillance from the Taliban to ISIS fighters, as well as Al-Qaeda extremists, who remain a threat 17 years after the U.S. invaded. Mattis spoke to reporters during a break in a NATO defense ministers meeting, which included a discussion of progress and problems in Afghanistan. The ministers also discussed more broadly the international campaign against ISIS, which has focused, since 2014, on eliminating the group's so-called caliphate in Iraq and Syria. In remarks to ministers at the start of the meeting, Mattis argued for continuing military pressure on ISIS even after the fighting in Syria is over. He did not mention that President Trump has said he wants the U.S. to exit Syria as soon as it can, perhaps within a matter of months. SecDef Mattis stated, "As operations ultimately draw to a close, we want to avoid leaving a vacuum in Syria that can be exploited," end quote, by ISIS and other extremists. He added, "Our fight is not over. We must deal ISIS an enduring, not just a territorial, defeat." Later, Mattis said leaving Syria before a UN-led peace process was underway would be a strategic blunder. Army General John Nicholson, the top U.S. general in Afghanistan, said the fight against ISIS in the eastern Nangarhar province had already begun intensifying this year and would be further stepped up during the Afghan ceasefire against the Taliban, which does not apply to other opposition groups. Nicholson spoke with reporters on the sidelines of the NATO meeting. Speaking separately at a NATO news conference, Mattis said the ceasefire could put U.S. forces in a better position to fight other extremist groups, such as the ISIS affiliate and remnants of Al-Qaeda.
"I hope the Afghan Taliban ceasefire leads to real peace talks. I don't think they will. I'm glad all concerned are trying."
An Army National Guard officer charged with driving an armored personnel carrier off base while under the influence of drugs insisted he was ordered to do so as part of a training exercise and called the charges against him completely bogus. But a spokesman for the Virginia National Guard denied First Lieutenant Joshua Yabut's claim. Spokesman Puryear wrote in an email, quote, "Lieutenant Yabut was not authorized by the brigade commander or anyone else to drive the armored personnel carrier off Fort Pickett to any location for any reason," end quote. Yabut told the Associated Press he was first notified of the training exercise by his commander a week before he drove the vehicle away from Fort Pickett. Yabut said he was later given the command in coded military language to conduct the exercise, which he said was aimed at gauging police response. Yabut said, quote, "I didn't want to do it, but I believed it was a lawful order. And as a commissioned officer, I was required to do so," end quote. Yabut, age 29, of Richmond, Virginia, was arrested in downtown Richmond following a two-hour police chase. He spoke to the AP by phone from a psychiatric hospital. He was taken there after he was arraigned on charges of driving under the influence of drugs, unauthorized use of a National Guard vehicle, and evading police.
And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk about vet sports, what they do, and where. Eddie's Troops, take a break.
Spartan Ash holds a special place in its heart for Honor and Remember, and we're proud to sponsor Run for the Fallen as another way to honor those who paid the ultimate sacrifice and service to our country. Run for the Fallen is a 6,000-mile run taking place from April 7th to August 5th.
Each day, a team of runners will set out, stopping 1 mile at a time to read the name of a fallen soldier out loud.
To join the Run for the Fallen as a volunteer or to show your support, visit runforthefallen.org.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. According to the FBI, 85% of altercations don't rise to the level of deadly force. Make sure you have some open-handed self-defense skills or pepper gel to ward off these less-than-lethal attacks. Always have a plan to repel non-lethal attackers and make sure you are in compliance with all self-defense laws in your jurisdiction. This is just one way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
We're Sound Income Strategies, and baby boomers who work with us know the secret to a great retirement is our middle name, income. At Sound Income Strategies, we transform high-fee, high-taxed retirement spend-down schemes into sustained retirement income. And we can do the same for you. For your free, no-obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
It's time to get off the Wall Street roller coaster, stop the retirement spend down schemes, and join the income generation. For your free, no obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm.
Sound Income Strategies, the secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
Call 866-913-1234.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you're in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Front Lines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Most of the world's nations' cultures are not national, but tribal. Every aspect of a tribal culture places the highest priority on being faithful to one's tribe, not one's nation. Some wonder why the Afghan people don't just take control of their country. Well, in the 1800s, the British Empire needed a buffer state between their Indian colony and the Russian Empire, so they drew the line around an area and called it Afghanistan. It's not now and never was a country. There are, I think, 7 major tribes composing the area, none of whom like or trust each other. The loyalty of every person in the region is to their tribe, not to their nation. Tribalism is one of history's great destroyers. Once radical religious, ethnic, or clan ties take priority over all considerations of merit and loyalty to the larger group, then factionalism leads to violence, violence to chaos, and chaos usually to the end of the state itself. You can see this happening in Europe, where Muslim communities ban local police from entering their neighborhoods and enforce only their own laws. Soon they'll be attempting to force the local community to approve and enforce Sharia law. Indeed, this is happening in our nation, and Sharia law is totally contrary to the U.S. Constitution, that constitution that we vets took an oath to support and defend. African Americans, Hispanic, Southern Europeans, Eastern Europeans, and non-Westerners were slowly incorporated fully into the nation of the United States. Along the way, they often met religious and ethnic discrimination, and worse. But, again, the inherent logic of America was to transcend tribalism and to focus on merit and citizenship. The result was twofold: the emergence of a greater talent unimpeded by racial and religious barriers, and a constant awareness that individual identity should not trump political unity. If it did, such tribalism would lead to violence, insecurity, and general impoverishment. However, our nation is moving quickly toward some form of tribalism. We're no longer just Americans, but hyphenated Americans. We're African Americans or Native Americans or whatever. Our colleges have Black, Native American, Asian, and other student unions, which is fine, unless they encourage not mixing with or looking down on others, which some of them do. Again, some Muslims in our nation seek to separate themselves from the rest of us. There are a number of movements in our nation to prohibit our courts from considering a case involving Sharia law, and one hopes that these will all pass, though few of them do. Again, Sharia law today is totally contrary to our Constitution. It should not be permitted anywhere in our country. So while being proud of our individual heritage and friends with those Americans who have similar backgrounds as we do, we must all be Americans first and hold our Constitution dear, or we face the dissolution of our nation, as has happened to many other nations in history. Let's all be Americans. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Hey, what do you have this week, Roland?
You've probably heard some of this before. In the coming decades, the Army will have to prepare for high-intensity conflict against enemies with similar weapons in urban environments, facing the possibility of long periods without communication or helicopter support. This past week, on the 74th anniversary of D-Day, the Army rolled out its vision for 2028. Over the past year, Army Chief of Staff General Mark Miley and Army Secretary Mark Esper have given many speeches about the future of war and where the Army is headed. Here is what was released as their vision. The Army of 2028 will be ready to deploy, fight, and win decisively against any adversary, anytime, and anywhere in a joint, multi-domain, high-intensity conflict, while simultaneously deterring others and maintaining its ability to conduct irregular warfare. The Army will do this through the employment of modem manned and unmanned ground combat vehicles, aircraft, sustainment systems, and weapons, coupled with robust combined armed formations and tactics based on a modern warfighting doctrine and centered on exceptional leaders and soldiers of unmatched lethality. How is it that the military can make a vision statement that has to be studied to be understood? No, frankly, I'm surprised there's not some crazy acronyms added in. Anyway, basically, there are two phases to this 2028 vision. The first is restoring readiness, training, maintenance, ammunition supplies, and so on, over the current 5-year defense plan from 2018 through 2022, and developing new modernized weapons that the Army will buy in bulk in 2023 through 2027. The Army has identified six priorities for modernization. The top one is long-range precision fires, such as artillery and missiles, followed by new armored vehicles to replace the M1 tank and the M2 Bradley, new scout and transport aircraft to replace current helicopters, an upgraded command and control network, new air and missile defense systems, and new equipment for individual soldiers, such as better rifles, targeting sites, and training simulators. That's a lot of new technology to get the bugs out in just 5 years. The last time the Army pulled off anything comparable was the Big Five in the early 1980s, and that required the massive Reagan buildup plus 5 years of prep work in the 1970s. And the last time the Army tried anything comparable was the Future Combat Systems, which packed 18 different vehicles, robots, electronic systems into a single mega contract, which frankly proved to be unmanageable. And although there's no Big Six priority labeled, quote, artificial intelligence or robotics, the Army has emphasized automation as part of every one of their priorities. By 2028, they want to start fielding autonomous or at least semi-autonomous vehicles that can fight on the battlefield. The basic goal is to let ground soldiers do at least some of the missions by remote control from a distance, kind of like the way the Air Force does with drones. The kicker, of course, is all these goals are contingent on predictable funding over the next decade and no major changes in demands for troops. Frankly, if the country goes to war, all bets are off. For Frontline to Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thank you, Roland. You're awesome. I appreciate you. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk vet sports with Autumn Harpins. Then it's time for Gold Star Families and their president, Patty Smith. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You are standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, we're doing pull-ups. Let's do 25, then stand at ease. July 4th will celebrate American freedom with fireworks and barbecues, but you can wear your patriotism on your sleeve all summer long with LuLaRoe's new American Dreams clothing collection. This summer line of skirts, dresses, tops, and pants pays tribute to the spirit of love, family, community, and country with a patriotic twist. Being proud to be an American never looked so good. Check out the collection at LuLaRoe.com, follow LuLaRoe on Instagram and Facebook, and hashtag LuLaRoe American Dreams.
Ready for a great day on the boat?
Oh, yeah. Hand me that cooler, will you?
Okay. That everything?
Food, sunscreen, tackle, bait, life jackets?
Nah, we won't need them.
Yeah, but I kind of promised my wife.
No, life jacket. That's a deal breaker, Robert.
Yeah, and I promised my daughter.
Come on, Daddy.
Hand me one of those life jackets, will you?
Yeah. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the women who nag you. love you.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. A recent survey found 65% of Americans use a rewards credit card, yet many don't utilize their full benefits. International travel expert Lee Abamonte explains how your banking relationship can boost your credit card rewards.
Many credit cards reward you for spending. I love the Bank of America Premium Rewards credit card because I earn 2 points for every dollar I spend on dining and travel purchases. Above and beyond those base points, I recommend you also check to see if you qualify for a banking rewards program to really maximize your rewards earnings. For example, if you're enrolled in the Bank of America Preferred Rewards program, you could earn between an additional 25 to 75% in bonus points with the Premium Rewards card, which totals up to 3.5 points for every dollar spent on travel and dining purchases. Plus, Preferred Rewards clients may be eligible for an additional benefits such as free withdrawals at non-Bank of America ATMs, as well as discounts on home and auto loans.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/getmorerewards.
USA Radio News.
Today, House Oversight Committee Chairman Trey Gowdy blasted James Comey in his opening statement at the high-profile congressional hearing regarding the IG report. Let's take a listen to a portion of his comments.
As we read this report, we're reminded of Jim Comey's decision to hold a July 5th press conference and appropriate the charging decision away from the prosecutors. We see Jim Comey drafting an exoneration memo before important witnesses like the target were even interviewed.
Today, Senator Ted Cruz introduced a bill to keep immigrant families together after they cross the border.
I mean, everybody's blaming everybody else. What they should do is sit down and come up with a comprehensive solution that stops it at the border, gives them the wall, but at the same time allows the handling of people in a humanitarian way. If people weren't still coming in, that pressure would alleviate greatly.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
I love my family, but last week, not so much. They blew through our shared data again. Then we switched to Boost and got unlimited gigs, plus 20 gigs of mobile hotspot on each line for the whole family for a great price. So now I love them all again. We just needed a switch.
Switch to Boost and get three lines with unlimited gigs for just $100 a month and 20 gigs of mobile hotspot on each line. Plus, get up to three free phones, all on a super reliable, super fast nationwide network. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
Offer ends 8/31/18. First line is $100 a month. Lines 2 and 3 are $0 a month. Requires one line to port in. Line includes unlimited talk, text, and data. Video streams optimized at up to 480p plus. Music at up to 500 kilobits per second. Gaming at up to 2 megabits per second. Data deprioritization during congestion. Free phones require port in and activation on plans $50 or higher. Coverage and offers not available everywhere. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's time to meet Autumn Hartpence, the Director of Operations for Vet Sports. Vet Sports was founded in 2012 by three combat vets. Their aim is to set standards for how to improve veterans' physical, mental, and emotional strength through sports, physical activity, and community involvement. That sounds really cool. That's why I invited Autumn to join us. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Autumn.
Well, thanks for having me.
Autumn, start with your story. Tell us about your time in the military and how you got involved with vet sports.
So I joined in 2002 with the Air Force. I was actually a weapons specialist for about 10 years. And then in 2009, I sustained a knee injury where they found out that I had degenerative disease in my knee. It wasn't at that point in time enough to medically retire me, so I got really heavy into fitness and healthy living to try to keep my career going. But I did change jobs to be a manpower analyst, which is kind of like a hybrid of human resources and process improvement. So I did that for about 4 years and then ended up severely spraining my ankle and having to have surgery. So now I have a plate in my foot, and I felt in my heart that my life was going in a different direction. So I actually decided to leave the Air Force after 14 years. It was kind of going that direction. I was going to be medically retired anyway, but I didn't want to wait. When you know, you know.
Yeah, I understand that.
And when I started in the military, I really wasn't going to go past 6 years. I was like everyone else who wanted to go for college to see the world. And once my reenlistment came up, I thought, I can keep this going. So I did, and 14 years later. And so I'm actually originally from Florida, but I have family that's actually in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So I decided to come here instead of go back to Florida, something new. And that ended up being a lot harder than I thought it would be because of the transition. Anytime I was ever deployed, it was always kind of behind the scenes being a mechanic for so long that it wasn't actually in combat, but still kind of affiliated working with weapons and such. So I thought, as I'm getting out of the Air Force, that I had myself pretty well put together, and come to find out that my plan A and my plan B kind of fell through.
Oops.
So, you know, so I was taught since growing up that having an A, B, C, and D plan was kind of the way to go, because you never know what life is going to throw at you. So after I got out of the Air Force, my last duty station was actually in Tinker out of Oklahoma. And I didn't want to stay because I do not care for tornadoes whatsoever.
You don't?
No, I don't. No, I was actually there. I got there in 2012, and in 2013, we had the biggest tornado they had in history, which My unit actually got reconned out for search and recovery at that point in time. And seeing the actual devastation of a natural disaster was enough for me. It was mind-blowing to see what kind of things can happen. So I knew I didn't want to stay in Oklahoma even after I got out. Fast forwarding, I came to Michigan and I started living with family to try to get myself established. My aunt happens to be part of a business networking international group, BNI, which is a bunch of business owners who get together and work as each other's sales team. So she invited me to come along, and any visitor that comes up can stand up and say what their business is, why the reason being there. And I told everyone in the group that was a vet, had only been out 2 weeks and was just trying to find the next steps in my life. Luckily, that was a great outlet for me to kind of get plugged into the working world. But what I had learned was everything I had done in the Air Force as far up to this point with the leadership and managerial skills and all that was not as easily translatable as I thought. And I thought I had a lot going for me, but I found out that federal jobs and private practice businesses are extremely different. So going into the HR field, since that's what I had done for the last 4 years, was extremely different than just going into a business office and working HR. I had all the managerial stuff they were looking for, but I didn't have the fundamentals to get to that point. So I couldn't even get a basic job at that point in time. So the first year that I was out, I was working odd jobs from a nutrition club to window washing to anything I could to just kind of keep myself going, because waiting for all my paperwork to kick in with disability benefits and VA. And I had planned to go back to school because of plugging into the skill sets I did not have. I needed something structured. So a lot of vets tend to go back to school after they get out because they need something to help them fill in the blanks, so to speak. But from January till September when I started, I was just lost and struggling and, you know, being on your own, being an adult for so long. And then next thing you know, you're living with family. It really hurts your sense of pride, like starting over. And so started school, finally started kind of getting into a good routine of transitioning and getting back on my feet again. And then it still was a rocky point because I got into a relationship with someone who was never military and come to find out that they were alcoholic. So I kind of put myself into a situation to where, you know, now I'm financially tied living with this person, and it just made transitioning that much harder and a setback.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing vet sports with Autumn Harpins. So you were looking for a home, right?
Yeah.
And how did vet sports come into that?
Well, so after getting out of that relationship, I got back on my feet with a job where I was interning and working for a cleaning company that helped me be financially stable to live on my own. So they got out of a toxic relationship, now started getting on point. Going to school, I go to Davenport University and being part of the Student Veteran of America's chapter at that university. I got to be on the student council as their secretary and trying to help them grow money for their chapter. I had got plugged in with a friend of mine who introduced me to the president of Vet Sports, and I was looking for them as a sponsorship to help the student veteran chapter raise money. And the president had actually come to the position, now that I'm getting my MBA in human resources, he said, I have a position that might be of interest that'll help you grow your skill set, which happens to be the director of operations position, which basically wears all the hats. So,
and you didn't have to think about it very long.
No, it was actually perfect timing because my internship had ended with Spectrum and they didn't have a position that I was looking for, and I really wanted to stay in the HR field. So this was just perfect timing, a blessing in disguise for me, and has been truly beneficial because I have met some amazing people who have had my back, who have had some support, have had great guidance, and have really helped me thrive 2 years after me getting out of the Air Force.
Okay. What does Vet Sports do? Obviously, it has to do with sports and veterans, but what do they do?
We really just promote healthy lifestyle. I mean, it is not enough to just be veterans and sports, but what physical activity does for the mind and body is extremely crucial for people who are transitioning out of the military. For example, Army and Marines, they spend a lot of time with their camaraderie, with their units, and then when they get out, they leave that, and then even though they have their family, it's just not the same. But what we try to do through teamwork is replicate the camaraderie they had in the military by bringing military members and non-military members together.
So there are like local chapters?
Yes. Well, we're located all over the U.S. We have 18 chapters nationwide, mostly East Coast from like Texas to Florida, the Carolinas, D.C. We have two here in Michigan, and we're working on a third right now in the UP. And we are trying to work on a third in Texas, but the chapters can either be statewide or within the city, depending.
But each chapter then invites people, veterans or non-veterans?
Well, the non-veterans are, so our membership consists of veterans, either active guard or who
reserve,
had left to serve.
Whatever,
yes.
Yeah.
And then family members of veterans. So we try to bring the families involved. So it's their spouse, kids,
yeah,
those kind of things to really help the veterans integrate into civilian life. So that way it's not military mindset the entire time.
Well, it helps the family.
Absolutely.
And that makes a lot of sense. And civilians come as volunteers.
Mm-hmm. This is a volunteer organization. So everybody volunteers their time and their efforts. What we're trying to do is utilize people who are leadership and carry that forward when it comes to coaching, mentoring, running a team, running a chapter. They can still use those skill sets.
So if somebody started a chapter somewhere and there were eight people, they would do pretty much whatever those eight wanted to do, sports,
yep,
or
– any sport they wanted to do. As long as they give me a budget of how much it's going to cost, that we would be able to,
sure,
help fund that kind of thing. I mean, we can't fully fund because we are nationwide, but we will do our absolute best either through fundraising, sponsorship. We're always looking for new sponsors who want to help, because the thing I love most about this organization is that, for example, if a veteran has been diagnosed with PTSD or traumatic brain injuries, physical activity does so much for them because now they feel a part of something. They're not trapped in their own head. They're not isolated at home.
Very well said. There's more to discuss about this. We'll continue this conversation, and Autumn's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back. Imagine being a U.S. combat soldier or Marine facing the enemy, doing your job fighting the enemy, and then being falsely accused of committing a war crime by our government. This sounds crazy, but during the last 10 years, this has happened too many times. United American Patriots supports these wrongfully jailed American heroes by providing civilian attorneys at no cost to the accused or his family. Check unitedpatriots.org.
The entire world watched. They watched each step down the rungs of that small ladder, one after another, and waited with great anticipation for that last step.
It's one small step for man, one
at that moment, humanity saw the impossible become the possible, and today the sky is not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're continuing our conversation with Autumn Harpence about vet sports. So, Autumn, vets who aren't really good at communicating, maybe except with other vets, can find themselves in all kinds of trouble, can't they?
Yes.
And lack of communication causes all, I would say, contributes to most of the problems I've run into with anybody, particularly in marriages and family, those kind of relationships, where there's it's not bad communication, it's little or no communication. And by inviting the families into this, you're facilitating communication all the way around, right?
Right. We have an internal battle buddy program, basically, that the team isn't just specifically sports. It's just a group of people in your community that understand you on your level. I mean, we're talking about different branches, different time frames of periods that they serve, different durations of time that they serve. So if I was in 14 years and talking with someone with 4 years, there's a big difference there, but there's a lot to learn from both parties.
Sure there are. And you could be in the same service and do totally different things and have very little
absolutely.
In common except you know what the rank structure looks like.
Absolutely.
So, but it's the fact that we served or my family member served and your family member served and we got that as a common thing and we can go forward to healthy living, athletics, exercise.
Right.
Just about anything that's healthy. Is that fair?
That's fair. And really what vet sports has given me purpose. Doing something for my community makes me feel like just because I don't serve my country anymore doesn't mean I can't serve my community. So the service continues when it comes to vet sports.
I contend that those of us who took the oath, that oath still stands. You may not be in uniform, but your country still needs you to serve, and you're still serving. So we're saying it differently, but we're saying the same thing.
Right.
We need to be serving.
Well, the idea being that when veterans talk about themselves, we talk about vets as who we are, not what we did.
Yes.
And so essentially carrying that forward is the same way as like, you know, just because a superhero takes off their cape doesn't mean they're not the superhero anymore. It still continues. And we try to encourage that with veterans, is still giving them purpose to serve and protect within each other. And that helps people not feel alone when they get out of the service. That helps them find avenues without having to try to find it themselves because that can be overwhelming. Veterans have a tendency to have a lot of anxiety when it comes to crowds, when it comes to decision making. And having each other really substantially helps that.
Well, that makes sense. So if somebody in the West Coast or anywhere where there is not an existing chapter, how do they get started? How do they plug in? What would they do?
Anywhere in the U.S., you just go to our website, which is www.vetsports.org. The membership is free. And like I said, it's for veterans, family members of veterans. And we do take first responders. A lot of times veterans who get out of the service become first responders. And they still bring a lot to the table just as much, even being in another community now, let's say in law enforcement or fire. They're separate communities, but the mission is still the same.
I refer to people who are first responders. He's not my brother in arms, but he's my first cousin in valor.
There you go.
He's there to serve, he or she, put their lives at risk to protect people they don't even know.
Right.
So, yeah, I totally support that. And the fact that my son's a cop doesn't have anything to do with that statement. Well, it has a lot to do with it, but that's... Yes, it's very true. Service is service.
So with that said, what we're looking for now as far as growth within our organization is we're looking for leaders. We're looking for people who would want to start chapters in every state in the United States who want to take that. And whether that just be your community, whether that be the city, whether that be a state, whatever they feel, depending on what their network is, if they have five veterans that they're working with to 500 veterans that they're working with. The point being is we want to help as many veterans be a part of their community and be involved.
That is an awesome goal, and it's not that hard to do as long as you're willing to commit the time, because you've already done the research. You can tell them mm-hmm. how to do it, what you've got to do. If you want to pay your own 501c3, how you do that. You can walk them down the path. You don't have to invent the thing. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is put the work in to do it, right?
Correct. And our leadership is equally involved because of all volunteers. We're here to help each other. We are brothers and sisters in arms continuing. So if someone wanted to start a chapter in another state, that they have our leadership's full support, even though we're headquartered in Grand Rapids. Our phones are on. We're always being available to help people support our mission of helping our veterans all over the U.S.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing vet sports with Autumn Harpins. This is obviously volunteer heavy, and I would suspect that you do need non-veteran people to volunteer to be a part of this program, because if nothing else, they facilitate the adjustment into the civilian culture, community, whatever you mm-hmm. want to call that. So this is not just for vets. This opportunity to serve is for everybody?
Well, in a roundabout way, for example, getting sponsorships involved with business and stuff will help with veterans who are struggling to find employment. For example, with myself, it was really hard to try to get plugged in, even though I have the skill set. There were still things I was missing, and having local businesses involved to be able to work with veterans as far as training, any kind of internship opportunities, or just employment that fits them, that helps them a lot substantially. So outside our veteran organizations that we have to help veterans specifically, that means other businesses can get involved to help the veteran community just as much.
So there's that opportunity too.
Right.
You don't have to do any of these things, but all of these things are part of helping meet the needs of the people in your group.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense. And I trust that the vast majority of people involved in vet sports are volunteers. They're not paid.
Correct.
So therefore, this is not an employment opportunity.
No. Nope.
This is a situation where if you want to do well and help people who can use the help, this is an opportunity to do it.
And we're extremely visual to make sure that any money that's donated, you can see that the veterans are getting uniforms, that their league fees are being taken care of, or they're getting plugged into the organizations that they need to, that anything being donated is going to exactly where it needs to go.
That's hypercritical. Do you have a board? Who oversees that?
We do. We have a board of directors. They're also volunteers. Our president is a volunteer, vice president is a volunteer, but this is just individuals who are out for the greater good for veterans within the communities of the United States.
And, you know, the fact that the money is very well supervised
mm-hmm.
is very important. But more importantly, given the fact that it's a well-structured organization, will people make mistakes, of course, and all that kind of stuff goes on. But the focus, and apparently you're achieving some goals there. Apparently you're seeing people grow through, mature through, whatever the phrase is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. The fact that it sounds good is one thing. The fact that it actually works is quite another thing. We've got about a minute. Why don't you wrap up some of the results you've seen?
Well, we put out a newsletter, and we're starting to put out like impact stories. So if you have a story about how vet sports has impacted your life, we make sure that everybody in the organization sees that we're actually making impact. And it's we're transitioning with success is our overall goal.
Bingo. That works fine. I would suspect that if somebody wants to see some of these success stories, are they on your website or something?
Yes, sir. They're on our vetsports.org website, or you can check out our main Facebook page. We also have Facebook pages for all the states that have chapters, so everything's social media available for them. Or they can just email me directly.
That works. Autumn, thank you for taking time to join us today.
Well, thank you for your
time. Thank you for your service to our nation. Thank you for the service now. I can't tell you how much I appreciate what you're doing and how impressed I am with vet sports.
Well, I really appreciate that. I'm trying my best to make this as reach as many people as possible to help them be better.
Now it's time for our Stand Tall Troop report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty and we're privileged to honor this fine troop. No matter what was enveloping James Cappers Jr. and his Force Recon Marines, when it came time to escape a melee, he was the last man on the ground, sometimes holding off an enemy attackers alone before boarding a helicopter to safety. Quote, "If I was going to die here in Vietnam, I was going to die fighting," said Capers, a retired major whose 22 years in the Corps would have earned him fame as a revered and innovative fighter and one of the Marines' first black special operators. Quote, "That was just the way we fought. You go out fighting, you kill as many of the enemy as you could. And that would mean they could not fight your guys or other American troops." It was in April 1967, after 3 days of patrolling behind enemy lines in search of a reported North Vietnamese encampment just north of Hue City, when Capers' nine-man recon team found itself in the crosshairs of an entire NVA regiment. The fighting was as intense as any he had seen in nearly a year in Vietnam, spent conducting dozens of commando raids in northern South Vietnam, Capers recalled. With two broken legs and peppered with shrapnel from a blast of a Claymore mine, Capers battled a mental haze brought on by massive blood loss and a shot of morphine as he fought to free his men from the assault. Capers, who had become the first black Marine officer nominated for the Medal of Honor for his actions that day, but would instead receive the Silver Star, was pulled aboard the chopper. After two failed attempts to take off, the pilots finally got the H-34 airborne, carrying the men to safety and beginning Capers' journey towards recovery. He would later become the face of the Marine Corps' first recruiting campaign targeting young black men. A documentary about Capers' life is set to be released this year, a decade-long effort spearheaded by the retired Marine in an attempt to find a sense of self-healing following the death of his son Gary in 2003 and his wife of 50 years, Dottie, in 2009. Filmmakers will share the once top-secret details about him and his team during that brutal tour in Vietnam. So stand tall, Major James Capers. Frontlines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking Gold Star families with Patty Smith. Then we'll hear the story behind the great book, Warriors Remembered. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's spring. Go out and run a couple of miles of wind sprints, then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Sergeant Dale Beatty was wounded by a roadside bomb.
Swift 1-2 is en route with urgent HVAC to Mercy. ETA approximately 35 minutes. How copy?
Now begins the most important journey of his life.
Roger, Swift 1-2.
From the battlefield to home. Home to some very good medicine. His family's love. They'll be staying together at one of the many Fisher houses to help Dale get better and return to his life. Fisher House Foundation provides comfortable housing and other services to the families of wounded warriors and veterans while they receive care at military and VA hospitals. Fisher House is among the highest rated charities, with 95% of donations going to help our military families in their time of greatest need. Remember those who serve and sacrifice. Consider a tax-deductible gift to Fisher House. Fisher House, because a family's love is good medicine. Go to fisherhouse.org for more information.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Today, President Trump delivered the keynote address at the National Federation of Independent Businesses. The president once again addressed border security.
Without a border, you don't have a country. You don't have a country. Under current law, we have only two policy options to respond to this massive crisis. We can either release all illegal immigrant families and minors who show up at the border from Central America, or we can arrest the adults for the federal crime of illegal entry.
The markets are down for the sixth consecutive day. Chief Economic Advisor from Allianz, Mohammed El Arin, joined Fox Business to talk about why this is happening.
So away from the U.S., things are slowing down, and that's because their growth hasn't been policy-induced.
This is USA Radio News.
Ugh, you guys, I am so ready for the beach.
I'm not.
What? The trip is coming up soon.
Yeah, my beach body is nowhere close to where I want it to be.
Same here. I've got to lose some weight before we go.
Plus, I know you're going to want to post pictures from the trip all over Facebook.
Well, why don't you guys try Calitrin?
Calitrin? That sounds really familiar.
It's super easy to take, and it's even healthy for you. You just take it at bedtime, and it does all the work for you.
You're joking.
No, I'm not joking, and you're going to feel good taking it.
So I got the Calitrin, and I got into pants that I had not been into in a year and a half. It also took my hot flashes away.
Hey, this is Jack, and I've been using Calitrin. I used to go to the chiropractor at least once a week. The Calitrin has definitely helped me, and I definitely recommend it to anybody.
This is Lynn. I've been on Calitrin, and I love it, and I've lost 45 pounds.
So where can I get Calitrin?
You can go to their website at toploss.com, or you can call them at 833-TOP-LOSS.
Today, former Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz is going before Congress regarding the Hillary Clinton email case. House Oversight Committee Chairman Trey Gowdy delivered the opening comments.
If prejudging the outcome of an investigation before it ends and prejudging the outcome of an investigation before it begins is not evidence of outcome determinative bias, for the life of me, I don't know what would be. That is textbook bias. It is quite literally the definition of bias.
Smokers hit an all-